Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. Today we're going to look further into sowing and reaping. So many times we think that sowing and reaping is God's principle of the New Testament by which we live and by which we receive finances. I believe sowing and reaping has become a thing that we do to silence our minds so that we can trust God. People find it so difficult to trust God just by what Jesus has done. I've seen in my own life, just to think that God is going to bless me because of what Jesus has done. I know that God can take me to heaven on the basis of what Jesus has done. I know God can heal my physical body on the basis that He says by His stripes we have been healed, because we've been preached that all the time. And our minds and our hearts are established in that. And the moment we read the scripture in Isaiah 53, our hearts just quiet down, or our minds quiet down, and our heart starts to believe. But when it comes to finances, it's a bit difficult. I think so many times we don't know how to receive finances but by preaching or sharing what we must do in order to get money. I want to ask you this: what do you do in order to be healed physically? When you trust God for healing, is there something specific that you do? Do you first lay down some of your health and become a little bit sicker than what you are so that more health can come your way? No, it doesn't work that way. We receive health by what Jesus has done. Now, salvation. If you want to get saved, do you first go and lay down more holiness? In other words, you give holiness away and become more sinful so that you can become righteous by Jesus Christ. No, you don't do that. You just believe what He has done and you receive it. Now, why do we want to do it differently when it comes to finances or money? It is exactly the same thing. When you want to be prosperous financially, you must just believe on what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. You must believe that He obeyed the law on your behalf. You must believe that He was rich, He was made poor, so that you through His poverty might be made wealthy. So if I go into a business deal, if I do some business, why can I believe that I'll be prosperous? Because Jesus Christ took away the curse. He gave me wisdom by what He's done in His body. And I believe, I know that He has done it all for me to prosper by becoming poor, so that I through His poverty might be made rich. I make use of the New Testament principle. The New Testament principle is finances the way God thinks about it. The way God thinks about it is He blesses you because you are valuable to Him. Now, if that is the way God thinks about me prospering, why can't I think the same? You know, so many times we, as leaders, sometimes preach this because we've got salaries to pay. We've got churches to run, and we're scared that if we preach this, people might not give. Because what we do so many times is we take, and this is not cognitively or planned, but this is how this whole sowing and reaping principle works. The whole principle of if you give, then you can get. The first thing that happens is somebody must believe he's in poverty. He must not have a revelation that he's already wealthy in Jesus Christ. In order for sowing and reaping, the whole tithing thing, to operate in the lives of people, they must first believe they don't have. And then we'll tell them what they can do in order to have. And that is the whole thing. That's what I call the ministration of death. It's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. The first thing that they had to know is what they don't have. And that's what the devil came and told Eve. He told Eve, you know, you can become like God by what you do. And Eve and Adam knew that they were like God by God indwelling them. And then there was another way. And what they actually said is, okay, I want to become like God by what I do. What must I do? And it is the knowledge of good and evil. You don't even receive proper knowledge of good and evil. Just death is being administered unto you. Now that might sound complicated, but it's actually very easy. If you can understand that in order for you to want something, you must not have it. Now, if we've got God's mind about something, we are Jesus conscious. Now, in God's mind, are you poor or not? In God's mind, according to Jesus Christ, you've been made rich by His grace, and His grace is available for everyone that's humble enough to say, I am willing to prosper because of what Jesus has done. But what we do is we don't seek God's righteousness when it comes to finances, but we seek the righteousness of ourselves when it comes to finances. If I've given, if I've done all these things, then I qualify for the blessing of God to come upon me. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am saved by, my sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus. I've got a new life because of the resurrection of Jesus. And I prosper because I'm a tither. Now that doesn't sound right, does it? It is just not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to tithe. I'm not saying you're not supposed to give money to the church. It's not what I'm saying. All that I say is if you use that, tithing and giving money to the church as the foundation for your blessing, you are under the law. And you'll never have proper peace. You'll never have proper peace. You will only have peace in line with what you do. So your peace will be works orientated. The reward you receive, you will receive a reward, but it will not be granted to you according to grace, but according to payment. It will be wages. You'll be paid for what you've done. Now, I don't want payment. I want the blessing of Jesus. I want that which Jesus was paid to be put onto my name. Hallelujah. Thank you, my God. Now, I think in the first five sessions you'll get a proper background of that. But let's just read Genesis chapter 8. And we just go into the scripture that so many times uses a foundational scripture in tithing and sowing and reaping. It says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on an altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet smelling aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, although the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything, every living thing, as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Now, so many times we want to use that scripture to say, because we are on planet earth, the principle that we use in order to get God to give towards us is sowing and reaping. Now, that is not the correct interpretation of the scripture. It's actually very easy, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But what this scripture literally means is, the physical earth will always produce seed when you put seed in it. The context here is not the New Testament. It's not the prosperity of the church. Nothing like that. Because if you read from verse 9, and the provision that God gave unto Noah and his family was this. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that move upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. In other words, what does he say? What does he say? He says that we'll receive... Food was given unto Noah, and the food would just be running around all over the planet. So it was given. God's provision was given through giving animals. That's what he said. And he also said that, and this is what God said in his heart, that no more will I destroy the earth by a flood. You must remember that the earth was destroyed. When Noah came out of the ark, it wasn't this lush, green, wonderful field just everywhere. No, that's not the picture. You must think of a flood. Think of mud. Think of trees being destroyed by the billions. Think of the crust of this earth, everything being changed. Think of you close yourself in a building. There's a flood. After the flood, a year after the flood, a massive flood, when the water came down, which was upon the face of the earth for a year. You come out and imagine how it must look. The houses, the trees, everything. It's just a mess. I tell you, where there was forests before, there would be lakes. And where there was lakes, there would be rubble all piled up in one place. And the earth was basically, in a certain, to a certain degree, destroyed by this flood. And I think when Noah came out of the ark, he must have thought, man, what is going on? Will I ever live on this planet? It's a mess. And then God said, I will never. As long as what this plan is there, there'll be seed time and harvest. Summer, winter, and all those things. So what God said is, this earth will continue to produce the way it produced before the time. And let me read it again. And the Lord smelled a sweet smelling aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. In other words, the ground was cursed. Although his imaginations of the man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more the living things as I have done. While the earth remains. Now remember, the context here was the curse. God cursed the ground, and he said, I will never curse the ground again. This ground, the physical ground, what will happen to it? There will be seed time and harvest. I farmed for a year and a half in the area where we live, and I tell you, I've seen it. The promise that God gave here is true. If you put in millies, that's what's going to come up. If you put in wheat, that's what's going to come up. If you put in watermelons, that's going to come up. If you put in cabbage, that's just what's going to grow. That's what's going to produce. There's summer, winter, all of that. So what God was actually saying is, he was still speaking about the earth, the curse that came upon the earth because of man's sin. That's it. It's not connected to any other New Testament scripture. And you might say, yes, but it is connected. But then you must also connect the scripture, I think it's in John, where Jesus said, surely this is a true saying. This is a true word, that one man sows and another man reaps. And then he's actually speaking about the gospel. He says, you are entering into another man's labor. And what he was talking about there was that Jesus Christ came and he labored, and we are reaping the souls because of what Jesus has done and what the prophets have prophesied and all of that. We are in the harvesting time in the New Testament, and Jesus and all the Old Testament prophets, they were in the sowing time. They labored and we are reaping. Now, if we want to use this scripture in Genesis chapter 8 as a sowing and reaping scripture, saying that's the principle by which everything manifests, we must also use the scripture where Jesus said, well, this is a sure word, that one sows, another man reaps. That you must know that if you sow, you're not going to reap of what you've sown, and you will reap of what another man has sown. So you must tell people to sow. You must make sure your father sows or your grandfather, so that you can reap, and you must sow so somebody else can reap. So let's see the scripture in the true context of what it is. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Let's read from verse 6. Let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that he shall reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now you might say, Bertie, there it is, as clear as daylight. That's like the one... It's like the one guy said to me, you know, God will take you through hard times to teach you. I said, no, he will not take you through hard times to teach you. And then he said to me, well, I've got a scripture to prove that God will take us through hard times to teach us and correct us. I say, right, let's read the scripture. And he opens in Hebrews chapter 12, where it speaks about the chastisement or the correction that God gives. And he just read the scripture. He says, you know, while you're being corrected, it is not pleasant. It's not nice. And he read the whole thing through. And he said to me, you see, right there where it says God chastises his children, right there it says that we will go through hard times. That's the way he teaches us. I said to him, no, I don't read it there. Just read it again. And he read it through. And he said, do you see? I said, no, I don't see where it says that God will take you through hard times to teach you. He says, no, here it says that he will chastise you. So I said, yes, but it doesn't say that he'll take you through hard times to chastise you. What he was doing is he was actually writing to the Hebrews through the writer of the to the writer that wrote the letter. Let's say it was Paul. Through Paul, he said, listen, this is what's actually happening. And he wrote chapter 1 to 11. And what he was actually telling them is all that you Hebrews are doing with this whole Levitical priesthood. And you must remember they were still dressed like the priests and all that. He says that's all gone away now. That's now finished. There's a new priesthood. That's according to the order of Melchizedek. His name is Jesus. There's a change of law. This whole law thing that you've been busy with hundreds of years. Now forget about that. Now that was God correcting people, and I just explain it that way. I don't want to put a lot of effort into that and time into that, but so many times we read stuff that's not there. Like that guy read and he said, well, you see there it says in the Bible that God will take you through hard times. And the word chastise literally means to take a child by his hand and to correct him with words. How did God correct the church in Galatia? By writing a letter through Paul. How did he correct the people in Corinth? By writing a letter through Paul. He corrected them by words. Now it's exactly the same way here in Galatians chapter 6. We read here, we say, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sow, that he will reap. And then it says in verse 6, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sow, that he will reap. And you might say, you see right there it says God will give money to those who give money. It's not what it says. I don't see it written there. Now let me explain the scripture. First we must go to Galatians chapter 3. You must actually read the whole book of Galatians to understand that part. I mean that is Galatians chapter 6. It's the last chapter. So if you want to understand the end of the letter, you must read from chapter 1. But I just want to just explain to you what he said to them. The whole book of Galatians basically goes about the works of the law and the flesh. Which is called the flesh, or the spirit, and the works that flows out of the spirit, which is works of righteousness. Now, the works of the flesh was this. He said, you begin, Galatians chapter 3, you began in the spirit by faith. Now you want to be made complete by the works of the law, or the flesh. So we must remember, the language of Galatians says this, the flesh is the works of the law. What are the works of the law? The works of the law is this. The mentality that says, by what I do, I'm going to receive. By what I do, I'm going to be holy. By what I do, I'm going to be justified. That's the mentality of the law, which is called the flesh. Now, let's just read the scripture again. Let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sow, he will also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh, in other words, he that gives to the works of the law, shall of the works of the law of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, according to this scripture, there's only two things you can reap. It's either corruption or life everlasting. That's it. So, it doesn't mean here whatsoever you sow. If I sow a watch, if I give a watch away, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to reap watches. No, that's a wrong interpretation of the scripture. That's not what it says. It says whatsoever you sow. If you sow whatsoever, the whatsoever there means one or two things. Whatsoever, if it's the law, or if it's grace. Doesn't matter. Whatsoever of these two. Now I know that's not correct English, but that's the only way I can explain this to you. Whatsoever you sow, if it either be the flesh or the spirit, you're not going to mock God. That which you sow, you're going to reap. If you live out of the works of the law, out of the works of the law, you're going to reap corruption. So don't try and mock God. Don't try and mock what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And I think so many times financial giving and stuff has been a mockery. Because we say, Lord, I know you have given, or maybe not cognitively say this, but this is the way I believe God sees it. God says, by my grace, you will prosper. But you say, no, I'm going to prosper by what I do. You are mocking God. Don't think you're going to prosper the way you're supposed to prosper. You're not going to reap life everlasting. You're going to experience death in the area where you're busy with the works of the law, because God is not mocked. Now, why does it say God is not mocked? Because it means that what we do when we give according to the flesh, it is a giving that is mockery unto what He has done in Jesus Christ. Let's read it again. Let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Now that word communicate means to become a partner with, to share with, to have the same mind as, and to join with. Now what he says here is there is people, there are preachers that come and they preach the law. Don't be joined to them. Don't communicate with them. Because the context, if you go and read chapter 5 and chapter 6, it says, you ran well, but somebody bothered you. Somebody came and messed the thing up. And now he speaks about the preachers that is sent by him. He speaks about himself and good news preachers. He says, let him that is taught in word become one with him that teaches in all the good things that the person teach. So what he says is, if I teach the good news to you, communicate with me. In other words, be one with me. Join yourself up with what I teach concerning finances. That's what he says. Share. That's what he says. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that he shall reap. In other words, whatsoever you sow, whatsoever you give out in this life, if you give or join yourself to the law mentality and the law preachers, you're going to reap corruption. You're not going to reap life. You're going to reap death. The ministration of death was written and engraved on stones. So, I want to say it this way. If you give to your preacher finances, now the context here in communicate means it's actually more to the receiving part as to the giving part. Become a part of, be joined to that person. Now the way you join to somebody is by believing on what he says and to stand for what he stands for. If I join myself to a political party, it doesn't mean I give money to the party. If I am a partner with them, you know how I partner with them? By just saying what they're saying, by believing what they do. And then one day I can go and vote for them. It doesn't mean I've given them a cent. I can be a partner of somebody without giving money. Now what he says here, he says become a partner with the good news preachers. That's it. How do you become a partner? By believing on them. And also, I believe there's a part of that in the Greek language which also means to support them. Financially, to share with them in all good things. Share means if you've got something good, share with them, and share with the good that they've given you. He says, and please don't be deceived. Don't think you're going to have good news and bad news. You're going to reap death, my friend. You're either going to reap corruption or life everlasting. Now, it says here, from the Spirit we will reap life everlasting. Now, do you think you can reap life everlasting of giving money to the church? No way. The only way we're going to reap life everlasting is by believing on Jesus. So the context of the scripture is believing on Jesus, being in the Spirit and not under the works of the law. Now, I don't believe this is what I'm going to say now is accurate, but it can also be seen this way. If you give money to your preacher out of the works of the law, the curse is upon you, you're going to become poor. If you give to the preacher to get, you're going to be bound in poverty. But if you give finances to the church because you are under grace and under the Spirit, you are prompted by the Spirit just to give, you will of the Spirit always reap life everlasting, and you'll have life and life in abundance, life in the Spirit and in the physical world manifesting into this physical world. Man, we've run out of time and I would love to speak more on this. I'm going to touch on the very same scripture in the next session. I want you to remember, don't just listen to one of these sessions. Listen to all of them and listen to it in context, because I know this is radical. I know that we've always been taught if you sow, you're going to reap. And now I'm saying that if you're under sowing and reaping, you're actually under the curse. If you do it by the works of the law is, if I do, then God's going to bless me. If I do, I place myself into a place where I can receive prosperity. You're actually under the curse. That's what the Word of God teaches. I know this is radical, but please listen to this. Go and study that scripture. And if you've got something different, call me, tell me. I would like to know, but that's what I see is written in that scripture. You can only reap life everlasting or death. Join yourself to the men of God. Join yourself to the good news preachers. Hallelujah. Because what they preach will produce life. If you don't join yourself to them, what you're going to hear is going to produce death and frustration in your life. Thank you so much, and God bless you.